You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is Tip TV. I'm Alan Green from Brand Communications. AIM-listed Tertiary Minerals is an exploration and development company, and to quote its website, is building a strategic position in the development and mining of fluorspar. Now, fluorspar is a chemical that is rated by the European Commission as a critical element. It's used in production of steel, aluminium and glass, and without it, it would seriously disrupt the production process. There's no commercial alternative available, so Tertiary Minerals is an AIM-listed company and has a number of projects in fluorspar. We last interviewed Tertiary Minerals Director Richard Clemmie in February this year, and I'm delighted today to welcome Richard back to the show and to tell us more about the company. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Alan. Thank you for having me back.
It's a pleasure. Now, Richard, can we just go back to where we were in February? Can you just remind the viewers about fluorspar and just go through its various applications again?
Fluorspar is a critical raw material. It's used in the steel, aluminium and chemical industries. Mm-hmm. There's various grades of fluorspar. Tertiary is planning to produce the premium grade, which is called acid spar. And the key uses for acid spar, one is the production of aluminium fluoride. Aluminium fluoride is used in the manufacturing process for aluminium to reduce the melting temperature. Mm-hmm. Another key use for acid spar is to make fluorochemicals, and one of those fluorochemicals, one of the biggest uses, is the new generation refrigerant gases, the HFOs, which are coming onto the market. And then there's a whole host of other uses which we'll all recognise as household names, things like Gore-Tex and Teflon. It's used in lithium batteries, for example, and in modern day medicines as well.
So it really is a critical element.
It is, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you operate, or the company operates, three development projects which contain, I think at the last statement on the website, over 13 million tonnes of fluorspar. That's $250 a tonne delivered. That obviously adds up to a fairly sort of chunky valuation potentially.
Yes.
Can you expand on the projects?
So we've got three projects, three core projects, one in Storuman in Sweden, which is the most advanced project, and one in Lasedalen in Norway. So those two are the European projects.
Yep.
And then we've got a large resource and project over in Nevada in the United States. This year has been a very tough year for fluorspar, a combination of the transition to the new environmentally friendly refrigerants, the HFOs, some oversupply in the market and flat demand. But our forecast for the future, we're seeing some of the fluorspar mines closing down permanently. And as the transition progresses to the new HFOs, the outlook for fluorspar medium to long term is positive, and we're hoping to capitalise on that in Europe and America with the position of our projects.
I did notice there was a statement by Inmin, that Industrial Minerals, on their website, that the fluorspar market was firming and steel production was expected to increase. So,
yes, that's right.
That obviously bodes well for the future.
Yeah, I mean the forecast from producers and end users is firming, and the medium to long term looks positive for us. Yeah.
Okay. So the company itself, Tertiary Minerals, only runs with 6 full-time employees, yeah, which includes yourself, of course, and Chairman Patrick Cheetham. That seems to be a fairly tight ship for a company like this. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, I mean, we're based up in the north of England.
Is it cheaper up north?
Well, some would say.
Yeah.
Our administration costs run at about £350 to £380 per year,
yep,
which we believe is amongst the lowest of our sector on AIM. And we're able to do that for two reasons. The first reason is that we share our offices with AIM-listed Sunrise Resources, and therefore our overheads and our office staff are shared with that company. And also Patrick and myself have dual roles in the company as well as corporate. We take on technical roles in engineering and geology as well, so we keep the cost tight in-house.
Okay. Thanks for explaining that. That's really really clarified some issues there, I think.
Yeah.
Bringing the tertiary more up to date, it's been a fairly quiet period over the summer. But at the start of December, you announced that you'd sold 2 gold assets in Finland to TSX Canadian company listed Orion Resources.
Yes.
Which is a pretty chunky company, I believe, by all accounts.
Yeah, I mean,
can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's we've had the 2 gold projects for a number of years. They're legacy projects in the business, and with them being gold projects and not fluorspar, they're non-core assets to us. But we've always had the view that they're early stage projects, but there's some value in those, and therefore we've maintained the licenses on those over the years.
Yep.
And we're really pleased with this deal. Orion Resources their market cap is around $20 million Canadian. They're TSXV listed.
Yep.
Their primary focus is in Finland. They have a number of projects running in Finland, and they also are joint venture partnered with a gold producer, B2 Gold. They're main listed. They have a market cap of just over $3 billion. So the combination of those two companies, it gives a good prospects for developing the two projects. The deal itself, we've got an initial consideration for the two projects of £100,000, and that will be paid in cash and shares. What we've got is a retained royalty on the two projects. So we've got a pre-production royalty agreed. So if they define a resource, a 43-101 or equivalent, a JORC, on either of the properties, we'll get paid between $1 and $3 per ounce of gold that they find,
right?
Which will be a good source of income for the company. And then it goes on, if they take either of the projects into production, then we have a retained 2% net smelter royalty. So to put that into context, if one of the projects produces 100,000 ounces of gold in a 12-month period, then that will result in a gross revenue of over $2 million.
$2 million, yeah.
So it's significant for the company, and we're very pleased with the deal. Yeah.
That's a very good deal, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. So even more today, of course, yesterday you announced that you'd acquired the hydro mine workings, historic mine workings from Hydro Aluminium. That sounds like a really good deal for the company as well. Can you just tell the viewers about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we talked briefly before about having the project in Norway, the Lassedalen fluorspar project.
Yep.
So part of that project sits on hydro land and historic mine workings. So we've entered into a heads of terms, which gives us 12 months in which to do a due diligence on the land, and then a further 2 months to negotiate a purchase agreement.
Yep.
We've got an agreed purchase price of 1 Norwegian kroner.
Mm-hmm.
And what this does for us, it adds value to the project. It makes development of the project easier if it's your own land holding and you've got access to the previous mine workings. But it also gives us long-term security of tenor, and it also reduces our royalty exposure in the future and therefore reducing operating costs in the future.
You earn what you mine, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay, that's great. Yeah. Okay, Richard, so putting my investor's hat on now, we're investors are always looking for future milestones going forward. Can you offer viewers an overview of your strategy for 2017? I think there was some mention of the MBE project.
Moving forward into 2017, starting with the most advanced project, the Sweden project. As you're aware, Alan, we got a 25-year mine permit for that back in February this year. That's in appeal at the moment, which is with the Swedish government. It's a little bit frustrating that it's taking such a long time for that appeal process to work its course. But of course, we're in the hands of the Swedish government there. So, we are positive that we get a resolution on that moving into 2017. With the MB project, following the last phase of drilling that we completed earlier in the year, we've been working through modelling, technical and economic feasibility work, and with a view to concluding that, moving into 2017 and having a scoping study for the project, certainly in the first half of 2017.
Okay, so theoretically, if the scoping study completes by the middle of 2017, then we could be seeing some visibility in terms of the time you move to production on that.
That's right, absolutely. Yeah. That'll give us a good feel of timelines and cost for development. Yes, absolutely. Right. Yeah, okay. And of course we also look forward to an upturn in the fluorspar market. Moving into 2017 as well. Yeah.
Well, I think the website, as I mentioned earlier, Industrial Minerals, certainly indicated that the steel market was firming, which would also support fluorspar prices too.
So absolutely.
It could be a very good 2017.
Yeah, let's hope so, Alan. Yeah.
Richard Clemmie, Managing Director of Tertiary Minerals, thank you for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you very much, Alan. Thank you.